Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. You know, I know I shout about Soup Sunday. I get excited about Soup Sunday, but I'll tell you, this is the best feeding we're going to get all day right here. This is the best feeding we're going to get all week, and I'm just excited for it. And I just ask you to come along with me where we're going. Amen. I got some direction on where we're going, but, you know, God always surprises me too. Amen. And so we'll just follow him, and we'll get to the other side. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, today's message is called Nothing Less Than Perfect Peace. Nothing less than Nothing less than perfect peace. Hallelujah. And today we are going to be talking about a certain sin that a lot of people don't realize is a sin. Amen? And that is called the sin of worry. Worry. Praise the Lord. I know that goes over heavy, but sin, we have to understand. I remember when I was first taught this, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Really? Worry is a sin? That doesn't sound, but worry is a sin. We are called not to worry. Praise the Lord. We are called to live in nothing less than perfect peace. Praise God. And so if we're not in perfect peace, we are in worry. And if we're in worry, we're out of the will of God. Now, I'm not saying this, you know, when we say we're out of the will of God, that doesn't mean, like, listen, if we're out of, we're inevitably going to be out of the will of God in some area of our lives. None of us are going to be perfect. Is there any perfect people in here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Bob, put your hand down. There's no perfect people in here. Bob's pretty close. Praise the Lord. He didn't really have his hand up. I just like to do that. Praise the Lord. But you know, there's no perfect people. There's no, you know, there's areas that we can miss it in. Amen. And God, that's where God's grace comes in. Aren't you? Who's thankful for God's grace? Oh, praise God. I'm so thankful for his grace. I'm so happy for his mercy. I mean, if it wasn't for God's grace and mercy, dear Jesus, I would not be standing before you today. However, that does not give us the excuse or the right to live and stay in ignorance. Amen? We must stay in the truth. If we don't keep ourselves in the truth, then we get into the realm of ignorance. And if we get into the realm of ignorance, we get into the realm of being out of the will of God, in which case causes us to stumble and then fall eventually. God doesn't want it to happen. He's given us all the ability to stay there, but we need to keep ourselves there. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we're going to be learning about worry today. And we're going to start in Isaiah 26:3. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 26:3. This is a scripture. My daughter and I, every morning we have scriptures that we recite. Not from reading them in the Bible. I mean, we've read them in the Bible, but we've memorized them. Amen? And once we get to the place where we memorize the ones we got pretty good, we add another one to it. And why do we do that? Well, because we want to get the word in us. When the word is in us, then guess what comes out of us when there's trial? The word, amen? And that's what we need to do as people. That's why we share the word. But Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him, and that, remember, it refers to hers too, amen? You will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now notice there's some interesting things here. It says you'll keep him in perfect peace, right? Perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace. Not kind of peace, not mostly peace, but perfect peace. Hallelujah. I'm going to be in perfect peace. You know, people should be, when you go through a storm or a trial in your life, people should look at you and be in awe because you're in perfect peace. How can you be going through that? See, the Bible doesn't promise we will bypass the trials. It promises us we can go through the trials with perfect peace. See, there's a big difference here, a big difference between, this is where Christians so often get tripped up because they come in, maybe things start going well, they come into church, they start learning about the word and things start changing, then all of a sudden they have some kind of storm and they're like, well, it must not work. But that's not what God said. See, if you listen to the preacher, if you listen to the word of God, then you would know that the storm's coming. But there's a difference of going through a storm in perfect peace or going through a storm all crazy, amen? A storm freaking out. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, I've noticed as I've flown a lot more, you know, when I first started flying, I get kind of nervous when I get on a plane. But as I've flown a lot more, I've just reminded myself that I always look at the stewardesses. Not in a bad way, you know, like I look at that, I put my attention on their life and what they do, okay? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not like, ooh, there's a stewardess, that's not what I'm talking about. But praise the Lord, glory to God. But at any rate, so I think about the stewardesses, and I think how calm, cool, and collected they always are. You never get on a plane, almost now, I've never gotten on a plane, and see a stewardess freaking out. You never seen a steward call. I don't know if we're gonna make it. I don't know. I mean, what would it be like if that happened? It would be terrible, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you be like, I don't know if I want to be on this plane. Amen. Even the most seasoned traveler, if they got on a plane and the stewardess, you know, because the stewardess is right there. You walk on the plane and they're greeting you, you know. Hi, welcome to the plane. Praise the Lord. They're like, come on in. We're going to fly somewhere together today. You know what I mean? They're all excited and happy and chipper, and they should be as they should be. But what if you were coming on and they're like, I don't know if you want to come on this plane. I don't know if you want to come in here because, you know this pilot, blah, blah, blah. You see, the stewardesses are always calm. And why are they calm? Because they do this all the time. They know that when they get on, they're going to the other side. In fact, they know that the chance of a plane trouble is so rare that it would be, otherwise people wouldn't do it for a job, right? Well, praise the Lord. But see, this is, they're in perfect peace. What would seem perfect peace, amen? But that's the way Christians should look when they go through life. When you go through trial, I'm not saying you won't feel trial. Of course we'll feel trial. But we should go through it with perfect peace. We should go through it and be like, you know what? Because we know who our God is. And see, this is why this scripture is so important to us. It tells us you will keep him. God will keep you. He will keep you. It doesn't say you'll keep yourself. It says God will keep you, right? God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. It's not separated from him. See, where people get off, where people get out of peace, where they start getting into worry, is when the trial arises or something comes against them. And the first thing they do is they turn their attention towards that. Whatever that thing is. They're looking at that and they forgot to look at God. Their mind isn't stayed on God. And that's why you get into worry. See, if you keep your mind on God, you will not worry. I said, if you keep your mind on God, now who God truly is. I'm not talking about some religion's made up ideas of who God is or what Aunt Sally's, you know, I hope there's no Sally's in here. If there is, I apologize ahead of time, especially if you're an aunt, praise the Lord. But if there, you know, Aunt Sally's idea of what God is. No, you got to know what the Bible's idea of God is. That will keep you in perfect peace. And how will that keep you in perfect peace? If you keep your mind on it, on him, amen? Because you understand something. This next part of the verse, because he trusts in you, is so incredibly important. This is the key to all that. See, you can keep your mind on a God, but if you don't trust that God, you're not going to stay in peace. You see, all these components have to be in place, amen? If you don't have all these components in place, it's not going to work right, amen? Praise the Lord. It's like having a car with two wheels. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine having a car with two wheels? I mean, that wasn't designed. I mean, a car that was designed to have four wheels, but only has two wheels. You're not going very far, right? And the same thing is with Christianity. The same thing is with our faith. The amount that you want from God depends solely on where you keep your mind, amen? Now, of course, we talk about ways to do that all the time, and I'm not necessarily going to do that right now. But I wanted you to see this because this is important to God. He will keep us. His goal is that we live in perfect peace. God wants us in perfect peace, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory. This word, I wanted to say this. The word peace here is the word shalom in Hebrew. It's a Hebrew word shalom. And it's actually one of God's names. If you didn't know that, this is interesting. But God called himself Jehovah several points in the Bible, called himself Jehovah Shalom. The God who always existed, the God of peace. Hallelujah. That's what he calls himself. Amen. That's who he is, the God of peace. Amen? That word peace, shalom, literally translated means health, prosperity, peace, and rest. Rest. Rest is a real clear indicator of whether or not you're in peace or not. Yeah. Hallelujah. Can you rest? If you're freaking out, you're not in rest. Amen? If you can't nap because your mind is going round and round and round this thing that you're dealing with, you're not in perfect peace. That's why we need to learn about this God of perfect peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Glory to God. I love the word. You know, we see that, I know, all the time. And sometimes people might, I don't know if people get sick of hearing it or not. I don't really care if they do. Because the truth is I love the word. I love the word more than anything. I mean, I can't think of a better thing than the scripture. Why? Because it is the scripture that sets us free. Do you know that when I'll be going through my week, I have trials just like you do. I have things come against me just like you do. But you know, as I do that, because we purpose to be in the Word, that God will drop a scripture on my heart, and I'll find peace in that scripture because He spoke to me. Because what is God reminding me that he speaks to me, that he's thinking about me, that he has these things planned out for me. And because of that, I know that everything is going to be all right. And if you know everything's going to be all right, there ain't no use in getting excited about it. You know what I mean? Excited, like I'm not talking about getting, oh yeah, we get excited for Soup Sunday. Praise the Lord. At least I do. Amen. Glory to God. But, we want to get excited for the things of God, but we don't want to be excited about things that cause us undue excitement. You know what I mean? Like, you know, nervousness is excitement. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 2 Peter 1:2. Praise the Lord. We'll read through 4. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace. It doesn't be added. Didn't say added, right? Hey, when we're first in school, what's one of the first things you learn in math class? You learn how to add. And why do they start with adding? Because adding's easy. Adding's simple. Adding is just like, boom, boom, you do this and this and that. Right? That's all it is. But when you get into multiplication, now there's something we have to have a little bit more knowledge, amen? And why is that? Because there's a lot more to it, right? So when it says grace and peace be multiplied to you, praise the Lord, that means that it's something that needs to be abundantly added to us. Grace is the ability to do things, amen? Grace is God's ability on us to do things even though we're weak, even though we're broke, even we weren't able to, even though we weren't strong enough on our own accord. That's what God's grace is, amen? So who wants that added to them? Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. If you didn't raise your hand, well, I'm just gonna believe you're tired and you just didn't want to raise it. But because everybody should have had their hands up there. Everybody needs God's grace, amen? Without God's grace, praise the Lord, we can't do nothing. There ain't nothing you can do. You ain't going to get nowhere. Nowhere, no time, no how. You're not going to get there. You're not going. Why? Because you need God's grace. God's grace is the very reason you draw breath. God's grace is why we could wake up every morning. You think you just woke up and you went and got a Starbucks and that helped you got going? But that's not what gets you going. God's grace kept the devil off your back long enough for you to wake up. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So that peace is also another thing, that rest, that place of just knowing. You know what that's what peace is. You know, not knowing is a lack of peace. That's why I never want to say, I don't know. Christians shouldn't say, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, you do, because you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Yeah. He ensures that you will know if you'll ask him, if you'll seek him. There's no Christian that should not know. I said there's no Christian that should know. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, that's a pretty bold statement. Yeah, it's pretty bold, and I'm serious. Yeah. I'm not joking. Yeah, if you say you don't know, you know your God. Yeah. If you don't know, you don't spend enough time with God. If you don't know, you don't spend enough time in the Word, because God, the Bible says that you know all things. Yeah. You have no need that no man should teach you, the Bible tells us. I can't remember exactly where it is. Maybe somebody could look it up. But you know all things. All things. Amen? You say, well, I just don't know this right now. Well, that's why you wait and you lean on God and you will know soon. Amen? We don't make the declaration. It's not coming. Man, glory to God. There's a lot in Scripture, isn't there? Praise the Lord. So you just read. I used to do this. I just used to read. I used to marathon reading Scripture. You know that? I did. I would get in the Scripture, and I would just, I mean, I read the entire book of Psalms in 2 days one time. The entire book of Psalms, there's a hundred and some Psalms, and there's just a ton of Psalms. I read right through them. But see, the thing is that's not always the way that gets it in you. Amen. I can't even get halfway through a short Scripture and not get drawn away by the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell God, take me away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going there. Amen. I'm just going to get into that refreshing, get into that. I'm just going to decide I'm going to. You might as well go with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, I talked the screen right off the, I just talked right off. Just close right down. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. In the knowledge. Where is it multiplied? In the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Knowledge, knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, you can go to school and you can get lots of learning and you can get lots of smarts when you come out of school, but if you ain't got the knowledge of God, you ain't got nothing. Hallelujah. I said, you ain't got nothing. You don't know anything. It doesn't matter how smart you are out there, because sooner or later, you're going to need something that is not found in college. Sooner or later, you're going to find something that is not found. You need an answer that is not found in a textbook, that you're not going to ask some shrink about, that you're not going to be able to ask your neighbor about. You're going to have knowledge that you need straight from God. Hallelujah. Grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, praise the Lord, and of Jesus our Lord, hallelujah, as his divine power has given to us all things. Everybody say all things. You know what's included in all things? All things. There is nothing that's not included in all things. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, all those people that don't think that God is doing things in your life, that God doesn't care about the little things in your life, that he doesn't care about the things that make you happy, the things that make you tick, the things that get you excited, all those people that think that God doesn't care about what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in, I don't know. This scripture just says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I would imagine that if he's given it, he probably cares about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't give it. He wouldn't waste his time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Through the knowledge of him. Here we hear that word again. That the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And we're going to go back in case you didn't believe what I just said. He repeats it here. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Wait, what is this? This is heresy. I can't believe that they're talking. Wait, you and I as humans, we're going to partake of the divine nature? What is all this stuff? Are you calling yourself God? No, I'm not calling us God, and I'm calling you God. But we are partakers of God. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have shed his blood for us so we could have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm spitting in my Bible. Amen. Exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God wants us. He endeavors that we be called, that we be partakers of his divine nature. He has given to us exceedingly great and precious. Did you read that, or did I just? Let me see that here. Has anyone got some bifocals or something that can bring this out? Because I want to make sure that I didn't just skip over that. Right? It says by which have been given to us. It's been given to us exceedingly great and exceedingly precious promises. Praise the Lord. That through those you may be partakers of the promises of God. He's given us promises. This is what trusting in God is knowing that he has promises and knowing those promises belong to us and knowing that there isn't a stinking thing that that devil can do about it. Now, there is something you can do about it because you can choose not to walk in it. You can choose to keep yourself separated from it. How do you do that? Jesus said, if you love me, do my word. If you don't do the word, if you don't follow the word, if you don't care about the word, if the word doesn't matter to you, if you won't allow the word to be preached, glory, all these things, you will not partake of his divine nature and these exceedingly great and precious promises. It just won't happen. This is why, so many Christians don't. It's because they don't realize that. Listen, I'm not bashing Christians. But I am saying we have to know that there are reasons why people go through this. You know, people will get, praise God, we love Soup Sunday. We love things like this, fellowship, right? We love getting together and fellowshipping. But you know, also, if that controls why your relationship to God, listen, you're a fool. There are so many people that allow that to dictate whether or not they're going to have a relationship with God. Your relationship of God with God has nothing to do with the food out there. That's just time for enjoyment. God wants us to do it. It should be refreshing, relaxing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It gives you, praise the Lord. It smells good. It gives you an opportunity to poison the pastor if you want to. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. No, you understand, those things are wonderful. Those things are good to do. But if that is our focus, do you know there's so many people in religion that is based on that? It's based on those things that don't matter. Those things don't matter in the grand scheme of things. The only thing that's going to matter, you will stand before Jesus. And you will answer for your life. And he's going to say, I gave you exceedingly great and precious promises, paid for it with my blood, put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you as a seal, as proof that it's true, and you still got offended and left your place of being. You still got offended and walked out of your church even though you should have been there. You knew you should have been there for other reasons, but you don't go now because you got mad about something that was said or something somebody did or you just perceived something. It doesn't matter. All that, see, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. You would really lay your eternity. Do you realize, man, glory to God. My wife and I were on our way to Corey last night. We were driving, and I said, and I had been thinking about this. You know, there's so many people that you know, they're so focused on, I'm thinking about people's distractions, and they're so focused on what's going on in their life and all this stuff. And all that stuff doesn't matter. You realize that. Everything that you stressed out about this week, this year, the last 10 years, none of it matters. How can I say that? Because, you know, in 80, 90, 100 years, something like that, none of that stuff is ever going to be thought of by you again. Do you realize that? There is eternity on either side of this century, give or take, that we've been given. Amen? There's eternity on either side of it. That century, that, do you realize? I mean, okay, scientists say that the earth has been here for some billions of years, right? Even if that's true. Even if that's what, you know, and some people, you know, there's all different arguments. We're not getting into the theology of that. So I'm saying that's what they say. Yeah. Amen? But say, scientists say that we've been here for a couple billion years. Even in the scheme of Earth, do you realize that 100 years that you can possibly be here means nothing? Yeah. That's like a drop. I mean, that's not even a drop. It's just like a speck. Do you realize that the things that you deal with, and see, this is what people focus on, is that they focus on that stuff. And the stuff that happens in there, instead of realizing that there's so much more. Amen? And the reason I bring this up is because I think about this, and we never really grow out of it, but it's like teenagers. You know, you have a teenager, Mom, Dad, I want to go to this dance. I got to go to this dance. I'm not saying dances are bad or whatever. You decide. But what my point is that I want to do this. I got to do this. Mom, Dad, I got to do this one thing. Please, everybody's doing it. I got it. So important. I got to do it. And you know, as an adult, or you should know, like, you should know in the back of your head, you don't say this to him, but you're like, that's so foolish. It doesn't matter. Like, literally, I mean, your high school is 4 years long. So you take even on the scheme, if we live 100 years, give or take, and high school is 4 years, it means nothing. Those things that you do will mean nothing. I had the best of friends. I just saw one. We just went on a trip, and we happened to run into one. Amen. We knew he lived out in the area. Connected for a few minutes and talked with him. And it was great. I spent every day with this. And we sat there, and we reminisced, and we talked about these stupid things we did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I ain't going to get into some of them, but some of them happened in this area. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we did these stupid things and stuff, and it was fun to reminisce. But you know what? We haven't talked in, like, 10 years. We didn't know, like, yeah, you know, there was the same old guy I knew, you know, there's things there or whatever, but, you know, we haven't talked, and so, like, you won't even know the people, many of the people that you're around, that, and kids focus on that, because it's the only thing they know, it's so important. But see, people do the same thing. Because this trial, my wife said to me last night, and she said, you know, as we look back, we face some trials. We face some major financial trials, health trials, we face the gamut. We understand, we're right there. But my point is this, she said to me last night, she said, you know, we're thinking back, like we remember them, but we don't think about them all the time. We don't. So whatever you're going through now, you ever heard the saying, this too shall pass? It really means this is going to pass. It's going to be over and it's not going to matter. And so many times people are so freaked out over something that might last a month or two. Really, in your scheme of your life, you're not going to, 20 years from now, I mean, if you thought about all the bad little things that happen, if you dwelled on that, you probably would be insane. You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, you would. You wouldn't know what to do. But see, so many people are so focused on stuff that does not matter for today. It doesn't matter, glory to God. If you trust in the Lord, if you put your vision somewhere out past, just a little bit further than today. Put it out a little bit further than a week from now. See, the thing is you will come through this trial. You will be on the other side if you trust God. And he'll keep you in peace the whole time. It's a key to staying in peace, not getting wrapped up in the present. I'm not saying don't live in the present. I'm not saying you can't enjoy the now. Enjoy the now. In fact, this is the only way you can enjoy now. Especially when stuff is going. Do you want to spend your entire life? He's like, well, the first half of my life was spent worrying about everything. What a waste was that? Who wants to get there? Who wants to be 80 and think, man, I sure wish, you know, and actually if you talk to people, they'll tell you, generally older people will tell you, worry less about things that don't matter because they ain't going to matter. It ain't going to matter when you're looking back on it, amen? Everybody gets melancholy and reminiscent at the end. We need to start doing that in the beginning, not getting you know what I mean? Like thinking about the way we need to, because it just don't matter, amen? Turn with me to Matthew 6. Praise the Lord. God's taking us somewhere, folks. We need to get there. We need to get there good. We need to get there proud. We need to get there full. We need to come there shining like a new dime. We need to come on the other side of the trial and be like, hey, we did it differently than everybody else did it. Praise the Lord. I said we did it differently than everybody else did it. Amen? Praise the Lord. You got to freak out about it. Just smile. Praise the Lord. Smile if you know who your God is. If you don't, we ain't going to smile. But sooner or later, folks, there's time when we need to stop freaking out. There's time when we need to finally get it in us and be like, you know what? I'm just done. Just done with it. Just done with you, Satan. Just done with you, devil. Just done with your antics and all the things you throw. I'm just done with it. I'm done with it. I don't care. It just ain't going to affect me anymore. Amen? Matthew 6:25. Glory to God. Therefore, Jesus is speaking, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Jesus said that, right? So I can understand if people don't know Jesus, if people aren't gods, if Jesus isn't their Lord, I can understand how they're going to worry about their life. But you, if Jesus is your Lord, then he just gave you a commandment. He didn't say, this is a suggestion I'm making to you. He said, therefore, do not worry. Do not. It was a commandment. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. I'm going to stop right there because there's a whole lot that's contained in that word life, isn't there? What happens in life? Anything that can come against you, anything that's going to rise up, don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't worry. There's no reason to worry. Don't worry if you know your God. See, the reason people worry, I'm going to tell you right now, is because they don't know their God. And we're going to see there's some promises after this. You know, there's a commandment, just like Malachi 3:10. We read that every week, right, for tithes and offerings. First part of the scripture is the commandment, and the second part of the scripture is the promise. I love that about our Lord. He gives us a commandment, and then he gives us a promise. Do you know what happens if you don't follow the commandment? The opposite of the promise. Praise the Lord. If you do the opposite of what the commandment is, then the opposite of the promise is always guaranteed. Also guaranteed. You can't have it any other way. And so if the commandment is to not worry about what you have and about your life, then we also see that the opposite is true, that worrying about it is probably going to cause the opposite of what the promise is. Right? Don't we know that to be true? I mean, it's cause and effect, right? If this happens, then this is going to be the effect of it. Amen? This is the same thing with us. God's people have no reason to worry. If God's people worry, they don't know their God. If God's people struggle they don't know their God. They haven't spent enough time in word. They haven't spent enough time in prayer. They haven't learned about who God really is. Amen? Listen, their churches are full of worriers. There are churches all over the place that are full of worriers. Are they bad people? No, they're not bad people. Are they living without the promises of God? Probably. They probably are, and it isn't because they're bad people. See, this is why the world, the people see in the world, they're like, well, I've been, have you ever witnessed somebody? Well, I've been a good person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think a good person is. God told us what the truth is. It does not matter that they think that they're a good person. I don't care if you think they're a good person. There's lots of good people out there that are going to end up in hell because they haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You understand that, right? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. What matters is that we know God. We know God, amen? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Actually, the scripture before that, I want to back up to that. Because that's pretty important there. Look at what he says here beforehand. Can we go back there to verse 24? No one can serve two masters. Wow. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Listen, If you serve some other master other than God, then the Bible says that you despise him. If your decisions are made by something other than God, it means that you despise God. You despise his commandments. So, well, I can't, I don't know if I can be faithful to this because of this, this, or this. Then you despise his commandments. Every excuse you come up with. There's no excuse for God. Why? Because you're going to see here in a minute. He promises us everything. He promises us everything. I'm going to hit one real hard for you. People say, well, I can't tithe. You know why you can't tithe? Because you don't know the promise of God. The reason you can't tithe is because you won't. The reason you can't give is because you won't. The reason you can't do what God says is because you won't. It has nothing to do with whether you can or can't, because Jesus is about to promise us. I'm going to be bold with you here for a second. Either God is true or he's a liar. Either he's telling the truth or he's lying. And if these scriptures are truth, then what I just told you is very true. But if these scriptures are not truth, then God is a liar. And if God is a liar, you better run out of the place, because we preach all about that liar God. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just speaking the truth to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't get mad at me. Don't throw rocks. Don't throw hot soup. You're going to throw the soup. Let it cool down first. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yes, my wife. I don't like hot things on me. Amen. I'm not like water, you know, like in the shower. If she gets out of the shower and I get into the shower, I always have to turn it down like halfway because she's had it up, you know, where your skin melts off. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I mean, I like her. She's hot. Praise the Lord. Like that kind of hot I like, you know, as long as it's not my wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. Not stewardesses, not angels, my wife. Amen. Praise God. How'd you know that? How did you know I was going there? Praise the Lord. I need to put a little bit of water in. My Bible just ain't wet enough. Praise the Lord. You can't serve two masters. That's important to remember. Every Christian needs to know that. Okay, let's go back down to 26. No, 25. We didn't finish reading that. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? If you can believe this, I'm going to stop here for a second because we got to talk about something. Is not, Jesus is asking a question. Is your life not more than what you eat, what you drink, and what you put on? Is life more than that? But how many people spend their entire lives just trying to get that? They're just trying to get there. They just are trying to get the basic necessity. We're just trying to live. Listen, I'm not making fun of you. I've been there. I understand what it's like to not be able to afford milk to put in your refrigerator. I understand what it's like to not be able to pay the bills. I understand what it's like to not even live paycheck to paycheck, wishing that you had two paychecks in a week just so you could pay your basic bills. I understand what it's like. I've been there. Understand? Praise the Lord. But the truth is I got the truth. I got the word, and the word did what? It set me free. And it'll set you free too if you believe it. But you got to get sold out to it. You got to be, wait a minute. This is true. This is God. And guess what? He keeps me in perfect peace on it. I know God's going to supply for me. Why? Because he always did. He always has. This is what Jesus is trying to tell us. He's bringing us a very important point. You're all worried about what you got all the time. And God said, you ain't focusing on me. Right. See, do you know in Jeremiah 29:11, God's got a plan for you, right? We love that scripture around here. We bring it up all the time. Say it every service. Jeremiah 29:11. Most of you could probably quote it, right? But do you realize that in that plan, nowhere in that plan, seeking after that plan, does it say anything to figure out what you're going to wear? Figure out, like how you're going to pay your bills? No, that's not in the plan. It's promised there. I said it's promised there. If you connect to that plan, the promise is there. Do you understand what I mean? So, like, if you are connected to that plan, then you, he's like, don't think about this stuff. Don't worry. Well, I was just thinking about it. That's just worrying about it. Because just thinking about it, if you're concerned about it, you're worrying about it. Listen. We all go here. I go here sometimes too. I get in that place and then the Lord has to remind me of these scriptures, which is why I'm reminding of you of these scriptures. Amen? Because we just need to be reminded of these things. Listen, God ain't talking down to you. I'm not talking down to you. We're trying to bring us up higher. Listen, who wants to worry? Is there anyone in here? Raise your hand if you want to worry. Anyone enjoyed worrying this week? Who loved worrying? Nobody? No takers, huh? Nobody loved worrying. Well, this is a way to keep you out of it. Focus on God. God doesn't want you to worry either. Isn't that good to know? I mean, the God that you thought that you were always told was giving and taking away and doing all these horrible things in life, sending storms and hurricanes and burning people's houses down and killing babies young and killing grandmas old and with painful diseases and all this stuff. Isn't it great to know that God actually said, don't worry? He said, don't freak out. Don't make it a mess. Don't get all teary-eyed and all worked up. You don't have to do it. Praise the Lord. You know what I love about God? And I hear this out of Christians so often. It's hard. It's hard. You don't know God. It's not hard if you know God. Why? Because he said his yoke is easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. What did he say? Was he joking? Again, if he was about that, if it was not true, then this whole thing is not true. Why can we believe any of it? But people go through life. They're carrying such a heavy burden. Oh, and my life is so tough. It's so hard. You went to church, didn't you? Didn't Jesus give you his word? Didn't he preach it to you too? Didn't he write this word for you and then give us his book for all times and then say, I don't change, so you can continue in the things of God? It ain't hard. It's hard because that's where your focus is. It's hard because that's all you will look at. You won't look at the truth. You won't look at what God said. God said there's freedom in the word. Freedom. And he also told us that fear is bondage. And he said, he tells us that if you have been caught up in fear, then you have not been made perfect in love, and God is a God of love. Praise the Lord. See, this, I hope I'm connecting dots here. Worry is a sin. If you're worried about it, you're sinning. You don't need to focus. And you know how, and that's why we tell people to praise. Because you know one of the best ways to stop worry? It's starting to come on me. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't even remember the scripture. I can't even remember what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. I can't. God, where's God? Pastor, call your buddy, call your friend. Figure it out. Let's find out what. Blah, 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 blah. All you have to do is praise God. That's why we tell you praise God all the time. Because that's the first thing that takes this. This is your enemy if you haven't known. It'll take this and it'll put it in the right place. How does your mind stay stayed on God? Well, the storm's happening. I mean, when a storm's at the trip, I'm telling you what. If I was on a plane and it started rocking and reeling and I thought it was going to go down, I'd start praising God. Why? Because that's what we do. We start praising God. Why? Because it takes our focus and puts it somewhere else. When you praise God, you can't praise God very long and still be in that place of like, I don't know. No, you don't have to get all worked up about it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Where were we at? I was getting worked up. Hallelujah. You know what I love, though, is he didn't just spend one scripture on it. We're going to have more here. Look at the birds of the air. Look at them. The birds. Watch the birds. See the birds out there? We've been down this road before, but we're going to go down it again because there's some new people here. See, there's birds out there, right? I love that there is this industry that has taken off in humans called bird feeding. Bird watching and bird feeding. Do you know bird feeding is a huge, pretty big industry? In the sense that you can go any store, pretty much any store, right? You go to the grocery store. You go to the hardware store. You go to the tractor supply store. You go to a tractor supply store and buy bird food. They have a whole section of bird feeders. Different kinds of bird feeders. This kind of feeder, that kind of feeder. Big feeders, small feeders. Praise the Lord. They have all kinds of different bird feed. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. If something was hungry, it'd eat anything it wants. It'd eat anything it could get to. You ever seen something that's hungry? You can put anything before it, it'll eat it because it needs nourishment. It needs it. It's craving it. Birds aren't hungry. There ain't no birds that are hungry anywhere. How do we know that? Because you look around, the birds are fed. I've watched birds at a feeder, like literally take their beak and go like that with some of the seed because they didn't want it. Yeah, they just threw it out, didn't want it. Tell you what, a hungry bird wouldn't throw the food on the ground. A hungry bird isn't saying, well, I like this seed better than this seed, so I'm going to, no! Watch the birds. Look at the birds. There's an entire industry. God has raised it up in the hearts of people to enjoy watching birds. Lots of things we can watch, but people love watching birds, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at the birds, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They don't labor for it. This is a really important point. People labor their entire lives just to make ends meet. Listen to me. They labor their entire lives just to make ends meet. I'm not talking about getting ahead. There's some people that would be, oh, that I could pay my bills on time, I'd be happy. But there's people that spend their entire life focused on what? on working just to pay the bills, just to get by. And God said the whole time, look at the birds. He said, watch them. Jesus said that. Look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They don't do that. They don't work, John. I'm not telling you not to work. That's not what I'm saying to do. But what does it say here? He says they don't do any of that. They don't work hard. Birds, they just fly around, have fun all the time in the air, zoop, zip, 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 back and forth all over the place, and then they eat whatever food they want. They throw out what they don't like. And you know what they'll do? If you don't have the right food in the feeder, they'll go to a different feeder. They're not, you know, I'm a little bit lazy. I'm, all right, I'm here already. I might as well just see what they got. You know what I mean? Have you ever done that? You've been like, all right, we're here. I might not necessarily love this, but I'm just going to eat it because it's what's here. And I don't feel like going. But birds are like, no, not me. Why? Because my Heavenly Father provides for me. He provides what I want. I said He provides what I want. Now, they don't think just like this, but we need to think like that. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. If all your life is struggle and trial, then something's off. You don't know God. And I'm just going to tell you, you need to know God. Because God will make sure that that struggle and trial ain't got to happen like that. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. Are you? And then he goes on, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. And then he poses the question, are you not of more value than they? Why do you think that this this liberal garbage that's out there tries to make animals more important than people? Animal this, an animal that, an animal that. Animals are here for us. If you didn't, if you don't like it, I don't care. But they're here for us to use. You don't have, my wife doesn't eat animals. That's fine. She didn't have to eat animals. But she don't mind that I eat animals. You know why? Because she knows that they're here for me to eat. They're here for you to enjoy. If you don't enjoy eating them, then don't eat them. That's fine. Don't eat them. But don't start something and try to make animals on the same level as humans. Do you know that there's people in this country that believe it's okay to kill a baby, but at the same time, if you did the same thing to a dog or a cat, do you know what they would do? They want to kill you. Do you understand the thinking and how twisted that is? I'm just telling, and I don't care what people think. I don't care if people get upset because people need to know the stinking truth. Humans are more valuable to God, and if they're more valuable to God, they mean more than animals do. That's where it stands. It is not like, see, Christians got to stop being so wishy-washy. You know what to do if you just follow God. You know how to vote. Follow God. You know how to who to back up if you'd follow God. But see, people are following these people that go down. They want to take humans and make them less important than dogs and cats. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you. Oh, praise the Lord! Don't get me started on that. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Take a breath. Okay, keep going. Verse 26. We finish that. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, now I'm going to talk about something here. Praise the Lord. Because the word offense just came to my spirit. I'm going to tell you something about offense. Offense is the first step that the devil uses to try to rob you of what God has for you. So if I say something that offends you, good, but get over it quickly. I'm going to tell you, we have an example in Corey. Somebody posted something about something we say. Every service we pray for the president. If you sat here when we were under the last president, you would know that the last thing I agreed with was President Obama. The last one I agreed with. But I prayed for him every single Sunday. Why? Because if he fails, we fail. Doesn't matter who's in office. Stop yelling at him. Stop getting mad about it. But if they fail, we fail. So you better be praying for your president, whether you agree with them or not. But somebody got offended because I would never go to a church. I would never. Good. Don't go to a church that preaches the truth. Because if you don't want to go, you're not going to get helped, and you will live like the rest of the dirtbags out there that aren't getting the help either. I'm just telling you the truth, because that's exactly what people are that don't follow God. I'm not trying to be mean. Am I going too far with this? A little bit? Praise the Lord. Well, a little bit doesn't mean I've gone all the way. Maybe I'll go on over to the other way. Following God is the most important thing in the world, and it makes the difference between you being somebody who's good and somebody who's not good. That's the determination. It has nothing to do with what you did or how many charities you gave into in life. It does not make you good. Whether or not you ever received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that is the only determination in God's eyes that makes you good, because you can't be good otherwise. How do we know? The Bible tells us so. God told us so. You don't like it? Good. But that's the truth. See, that's the thing. We don't preach things because people like to. I'm not trying to rally troops on my side. I don't need a bunch of people to agree with me. I need a bunch of people to agree with the Word of God, to follow the Word of God, because your life won't change otherwise. You'll wonder why there's hell going on in this country right now. Well, it certainly isn't because people have been putting this to practice. It certainly isn't because people are doing this. It's because people are following their own way. They're tickling their flesh. Oh, I don't know how you got me so mad, but praise the Lord, it's the truth. It's the truth. Glory to God. Reel back, okay. Now we'll continue on with our regular scheduled programming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Offense, it's awful. It's nasty. It's evil. I've seen it. I felt it. I've had it. I've been full of offense. It almost robbed my family of everything that we have. And offense will do the same thing. You know what offended? I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. You know what your problem is? You're offended. Get over it. Get over it. I mean, seriously, who cares? You can't say that. That offends so many people. Who cares? Well, since when? So, like, listen. I guess I can't. I'm gonna go back this way. Hallelujah. Since when did it matter? I mean, think about this. When this country was being founded, you had hordes of people coming over, right? Hordes of people, and they were treated less than human. You understand that? The Italians, the Irish, it didn't matter. They're all treated like absolute garbage. Nobody was getting offended then. You know what they did? They came in and they built the country. They came in and they said, you know what, I'm going to rise above this. Why? Because they were more proud of who they were. They knew who they were. They didn't need somebody else to tell them who they were. They didn't need someone else to pay. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. You come here, Josh. Come here. I just want to make sure you're okay, Josh. You doing all right? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do you need a safe room, Josh? You want to go back and see what I mean? You know what I mean? Come on now. What's wrong with people? Praise the Lord. God forbid. I'm telling you, I pray Jesus comes back before the end of my life, because the next generation that's coming up is such a bunch of lilies and sissies that they aren't going to be. I don't want to be left. I don't want to be left with them in charge. I'm just telling you the truth. Hallelujah. And if you do, you're just as confused as they are. Praise the Lord. Maybe that's part of the problem. See, there's no reason so many people are confused today. It's because they just don't know the truth. See, because everybody's been telling them that the truth can be subjective. That's why people are confused. I don't know what I am. I'll tell you how you know what you are. Praise the Lord. Look at the truth. Praise God. You knew where I was going, but I didn't go there. Hallelujah. Was it the doctor? Was it the doctor that told us, if you're confused about who you are, go in the bathroom, look in the mirror. Pull your pants down, look in the mirror. That's what he said, literally. That's what he said. I'm just quoting him, Dr. Dwayne. Praise the Lord. It clears up confusion really quickly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I don't even know where I was. 29, verse 29. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God is taking care of those things you're trying to take care of. Yeah. God is fixing those things. He's setting those things up that you're trying to set up, that you're trying to fix. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know why it's not working for you? You're trying to do God's job. You're doing God's job. You're not doing your job. What's your job? Keep your mind stayed on Him. Do His commandments. That's your job. What are you doing? You're trying to make God happen. You're trying to make God move. You're trying to make God do that. Oh, glory to God. You see it? You see why it's wrong? Listen, hallelujah. Isn't it annoying? Wouldn't it be annoying if you were, if you were working and... this doesn't work anywhere else. Why does it work with God? Why do people think it'll work with God? You know, you don't go to a restaurant and the waitress comes up to you and say, I want a BLT on sourdough. Praise the Lord. A little mayonnaise and a lamb. You know what? I'm just gonna go make it. And you just go back there and you just start. You know, where's the toaster? Where do we keep the toaster? They look at you like you were crazy, right? Why? Because it's not your job. It's not what you're supposed to do. Praise the Lord. You know why I take my truck to Denny? Because I don't know the first thing about vehicles. My pastor was even joking with me. We were like winterizing our boats, you know, and he's like, and he was, you know, asking me this and that. I was like, I don't know how to do that. I was asking about checking the oil. He said, you check the oil? I was like, how do you do that? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I can build anything, but when it comes to cars, I'm stupid. You know what I mean? He's like, how did you make it this far? Because I got people in my life that I take things to say, hey, I don't know. I ain't going to try to do your job. You know what? There's been times where I'm like, well, I'll figure this out on my own because I'm sure that I could. It's not that I can't figure it out. You understand that? I'm not saying I'm a complete moron. I'm just a little bit of a moron, amen? But, like, I'm not saying I couldn't figure it out. What I'm trying to say is I don't want to figure it out. I don't need to figure it out. Why? That's why we have different industries. You know what I mean? There's like, people that do these things where you can go, they want to see how much it would be to actually make, I think it was a BLT, actually. And they did every part of it from the time, from like growing the food to raising the animals and everything. And then they slaughtered the animals and then they made the bacon and they made the bread and they did all these things. They wanted to see exactly what it took to make a BLT. And it was like some amount of money. And I think that's great, you know, that somebody did that for a video, but who cares? I liked it. I can go buy bread. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to make bread. I don't need to feel great about making bread. Some people do, and more power to you. That's why I can eat bread, because if you didn't love making bread, I wouldn't be eating bread. That's why we're having Soup Sunday today, because I love soup, but I don't make soup. Hallelujah. But a bunch of you do, as evidence has been seen out there. And so I can go sample all those soups, and I didn't make any of them. Praise the Lord. See, we did it right. Hallelujah. See, this is the thing. People are trying to do the job that isn't their job. They're trying to be God of their own lives, and I wonder why it's falling apart. Because you can't be God of your own lives. It don't work that way. God won't let you, because it's his job. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? It says, do not worry, saying. See, this is important. This is where it all begins. It's like, okay, we have the thought, and then we express the thought. And then once we express the thought, other people love to help us express that thought. Praise the Lord. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever been somewhere, praise the Lord, have you ever been somewhere where people love to experience or express thoughts, and then they love to help you express those thoughts? And even if it's a negative thought, ladies, have you ever been somewhere where they love to talk about husbands? Guys, have you ever been somewhere where they love to bash wives, and they just love to express those thoughts? That's why people have troubled marriages. You don't bash your wife, you don't bash your husband. Why? Because it's none of anyone else's business what they do. Now, I'm not saying, listen, if there's somebody, obviously, if somebody's being abusive or something like that, you don't stay in an abusive relationship. We never condone that. You know what I mean? But we're talking about, people have differences. Amen? Praise the Lord. You don't spend all your time on that. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is, today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? We read that, I know, but I wanted to hit it again. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For all these things, the Gentiles, the people who are not gods, in other words. This is what the people who are not gods, this is what they seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows it. He's promised. That's why he gave you those great and exceedingly great and precious promises, to guarantee that you would have it. Your focus on it and helping it. Your focus on it isn't moving it any closer to you. Didn't he say there? Where did he say that? Praise the Lord. He says, we can add one cubit to your stature. I know that. I just read it, right? Yeah, verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add? Which of you by worrying can change it? Does worry change it? How many people have ever changed something through worry? Praise the Lord. If you did, write a book, because you'll probably sell a whole bunch of it. Yeah, because you don't change it that way, right? Well, what's he say? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all those things you need for life, all those things that you were worried about, all those things that kept you distracted, all those things that kept you focused on something other than God, all those things shall be added to you. That's the promise of God. That's his promise. Well, praise God. It's his promise. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, I was in some worry this week about some things. I'll just be honest with you. I was worrying about some things. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had a lot of these things on my plate that I had to take care of, and I just didn't know how I was going to fit it all in. And then the Lord reminded me, great peace have those whose mind are stayed on him. He keeps them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. I was focusing on the stuff, what I have to do. See, we all have things to do. You start worrying about, what do? I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I cast all those cares on you, all of them. I don't keep any of them for me. I cast them all on you. And furthermore, I cast them all on you. I believe you to take care of them. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly where I stayed. I didn't pick them back up. I didn't try to make it, figure it all out. I cast them on the Lord, and I moved on with my day. Guess what? I rested. I wasn't so tense anymore. And you know, at least one of those things, I'm going to tell you, one of those things I have been kind of, I'll just say this, I've been worrying about a lot. I've been thinking about it a lot. And how am I going to do this thing? Because I couldn't quite figure it out. Oh, that was the other thing I said to him. I said, Lord, you order my steps. Because the Bible says a righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. And so I said, Lord, I can't figure it out. I recognize that. I know you can. So I ask you to order my steps. Show me what to do, right? And so that's what I did. And guess what? This one thing, I got in front of it when I finally had to deal with it. I got in front of it. And guess what? It was like easy peasy. Praise the Lord. It was just like that. It was like boom, boom, boom. Just like that. Figured it all out. And it was so much easier than I thought it was going to be. See, I spent all that time twisted up about it. I spent all that time worrying about it. All that time, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? How's it going to happen? And guess what? He just showed me the best way. And not only did he show me the best way, but it was a way that happened like in probably just a little bit of the time that it would have taken me, the ways I was figuring out. I was worried about it. See, this is the thing. We focus on the wrong things. The focus is on God. The focus isn't how you're going to pay your bills. The focus isn't how you're going to do your house. The focus, I know, there's people in here that have construction projects. I'm speaking to you too. You got things you got to finish by a certain date. You got things, you got press. Cast it before the Lord. You ain't got to carry it anymore. You ain't got to carry it. That doesn't mean you don't do something about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you neglect it. You understand. But you just put it before the Lord. Say, Lord, you help me. You order my steps. Help me make it the right steps. There are things that we got to figure out in here. I'm sure you got lots of things. Amen? Right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In other words, you just deal with what's before you. Let God trust him. Let him work it out. Amen? Praise the Lord. What kind of life exists to exist? Do you know what I mean? What kind of life is it where you're just like, oh, just one trial to the next, one trouble to the next? What kind of life is that? It's not a good one. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, man, I'm only about halfway through all that message. Praise God. Let's turn there real quick. We still got a few minutes. Genesis 1:26. We'll read through verse 28. Genesis 1:26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I'm just going to bring up something to you. If you were created by evolution, then you would be no greater than a horse. You'd be no greater than an amoeba. You'd be no greater than any of these things. You would have no place. Isn't it interesting how humans rule the earth? And they just do so instinctively. Why? Because if apes had that same thing in them, they'd be doing it. You ever seen Planet of the Apes? I'm just telling you, it's the truth. Hallelujah! If they knew, they would do. That's what they would do. They don't like being subject. Like nothing likes to be subject. But that's the way that it is. I think that's proof positive. If evolution was true, then the dinosaurs certainly would have. Well, you know, they died off, but there's some of them still. Praise the Lord. There's, you know, there's other animals that are quicker and faster and stronger, especially before humans got weapons and stuff like that. See, God's put something in us that's different. He's put something in us that means more, amen? And what that thing is called dominion. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God is not a he, she. This is not saying that God created them to look exactly like him because he's male and female, both have those parts. That's not what it's talking about. It's saying he's created him in his image, like my children are in my image. You know, like, you know, most people look at my kids and they'll see, they don't deny that they're my kids. You can see there's an image there that is like that. But there's also other things that come out of them that are like me. Amen. There's been things out of me that I knew. This was a family inherited trait. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. We have other people like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My wife just showed me a picture of, who is it? Cody's dad. Yeah, Cody's dad. It's like, that's Cody. You hear Cody? You know, I remember when I first met Cody's dad, and Cody's dad, they talk alike. What is that? He's made in the image of his dad. You know what I mean? Well, that's how God created us. Hallelujah. It's not an insult. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, like, I don't know if anybody's worried about it. It's just one of those things. It's like, wow, you know, you see somebody, you're like, man, they're just like, that's what we are created to be. Do humans really always look like their Heavenly Father? Well, not exactly. But, you know, humans are running around scared, depressed, trying to figure it all out. God created you in his image to have dominion, to rule, to reign, to be on top. Not to be laid out, not to be the tail, but to be the head. Who wants to be the tail? You know what the tail covers, right? Anybody want to be the tail? I don't want to be. The Bible promises me that's one of the great and precious promises, that I can be the head, not the tail. I'd much rather, you know what I mean? Because, praise God. Hallelujah. So anyways, God created him in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, you be fruitful, you multiply, you fill the earth, and you subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Wouldn't dominion over everything be dominion including life? Wouldn't it be dominion over life? Why do we let life rule us? Do you realize that? If we're falling victim of that trap, that's what we're doing. We're letting life rule us. When you have the ruling power, can you imagine it'd be like the jester coming into the king's court and the king laying down his crown and saying, oh, you get up here because that's what people do. They submit. They don't even think about it. You don't let life rule you. You don't let life rule you. Why? Because you have dominion. You've been created with dominion. God didn't put dominion in you so life would rule over you. He said he put dominion in you so you would rule over life. So start doing it. Start doing it. Start doing it. Everybody in the back, start doing it too. Hallelujah. Get caught up in the front. Let's start doing it. Hallelujah. Let's rule over this life. Don't let the life rule over you. Look at those things and say, nah, not today, motor scooter. Remember Pastor Webb? Praise the Lord. Not today, motor. We ain't doing this. I ain't doing it. Seen that video? I love that video. Ain't doing it. I just love it because she ain't doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ain't doing it. Look at the devil. Say, ain't doing it today, devil. Just not. Ain't happening. We're moving on. We're going on with the things of God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our image is a reminder of who, of what we belong to, or where we belong. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will what? Reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We don't do it by our own power. See, that's where the problem is. It's because what you're trying to get, what you're trying to struggle through, what you're trying to accomplish, you're doing it by your own power. You're not reigning through Jesus Christ. Reign through Jesus Christ. Be the one who says, you know what? I'm going to stand up in Christ and I'm going to be strong. I'm going to get to the other side. I'm going to do this because God didn't create me to be this way. See, this is why our church is better. I'm just telling you. That's why our church is better. Better than what? Well, better than by anyone else who doesn't teach this. It's better than the college if it doesn't teach this. It's better than the store if it doesn't teach this. Praise the Lord. It's better than the beauty shop if you know what I mean. Praise God. Doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where you go. This is what makes us better. It's because we have the promises of God. And the promises, you know, when I say better, I don't mean we don't look at people. Like, we don't go around looking down on people and trying to find reason to, like, cut people down. No, we try to bring people in. Amen? And it takes boldness sometimes to bring people in. Sometimes people just need to hear the truth because they ain't hearing it today if you haven't noticed. I'm just telling you, they ain't hearing it today. Everybody's out there lying about everything. I got to stop watching it. You know why? Because it creates so much worry. It creates so much animosity in you. It creates so much. That's exactly what the devil's trying to do. God's life is peace. God's presence is peace. His direction is peace. And if you go there, if you focus on that, that's exactly what you're going to have. Amen? Well, you got half the message. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I end with Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. The word Yah, it's Jehovah. It's the same root word that's we translate it. The existing God. In Him is everlasting strength. You won't find it in yourself. You won't find it in somebody else. You'll find it in the word and direction of God. Amen?